Welcome to the homily studio for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. That's Sunday, the 9th of October. And this Sunday that we gather to prepare for is also Support Life Sunday. For that reason, we've asked that John Kleinsman, the director of the National Centre for Bioethics of New Zealand Catholic Bishops Conference, the Nathaniel Centre, John, to be with us. And John, of course, is one of our regular contributors anyway, but the reason that we've got one more than usual people is that we brought John on board for today. So thanks for being here, John. Let's take a moment to introduce ourselves. Who do we have in the room?
John Kleinsman, Director of the Nathaniel Centre. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And looking forward to a discussion today about how the readings might apply to the theme which the bishops have chosen for this year's Support Life Sunday, and that is the topic of mental illness, caring and accompanying those who live with mental illness, either live with it themselves or are caring for people or friends with mental illness.
I'm Trina. I'm the archivist in the diocese here in Christchurch, married with two teenagers.
And I'm Kate. Hello, everyone. I was going to say today I'm just a parishioner, but I guess those are quite important people, aren't they? And I've adopted over the years the make myself useful around the place strategy in all sorts of parts of my life. And look where it's got me, being on a podcast like this.
And I'm Lucienne. I'm calling in from Wellington today, part of the church mission team in the Archdiocese, and married with three sons.
Thank you all for being here in the room, but all of us, wherever you are, however you are listening, and wherever you are listening, in whatever part of the world, because we know that we are not just listened to in Aotearoa, but in many parts of the globe. Well, I'm back into leading some retreats after a couple of years of COVID breaks and parish retreats. And last weekend I was in Oamaru, and one of the things, Kate, it was your comment that led me to say this. One of the things that we emphasized was that the term lay Catholic, lay Christian, is really redundant. We are, if we are baptized, professionals. So you cannot call yourself just a parishioner, Kate. You picked yourself up well on that. So as a group of professionals, we gather, beginning with a moment of prayer in which we become aware that the work of the homily is not simply the work of one person we may call the preacher, but is the work of the entire Christian community as we all seek to hear Christ speaking to us, the word of God for us, not just text on a page, but a living person, Jesus Christ, who is God with us. And so in the opening prayer, the collect of the Sunday, we pray, may your grace, O Lord, we pray, at all times go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out good works through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Respect Life Sunday is what this day used to be known as. The bishops changed the name a couple of years ago to better emphasise or reflect the fact that the responsibility we all have to uphold the dignity of life is much more an active one. So the word support sends a message that this is about our life in action as well as prayer and words. So respect has a much more passive sound to it. So this certainly applies to the theme that has been chosen this year by the New Zealand bishops, which is accompanying and caring for people who live with mental illness.
I quite like this idea of supporting life, because I guess respecting life also had that connotation about life itself and being sort of anti-abortion and some of these other things, whereas actually I think we're here to support all the living in whatever flavour they come, right?
It's not just about the end and the beginning stage, which traditionally the Respect for Life aimed for. It's about the continuum, and particularly, particularly with mental health being such an issue. It's fantastic to see the name change reflected in what you're doing as well. That's why I loved the gospel. It really does call in that idea of support. I love the fact that the lepers don't ask to be healed. They just want compassion. And I think that's so relevant to people today who are living with mental illness themselves or living with people who are struggling. You know, you don't have to fix everything. Just sometimes you just have to understand and be there. And I think the gospel is really good around that.
And I'm going to follow on, Trina, from the mention of the gospel. Like, how many of the lepers were healed? And I think the answer is one. Like, until we express the gratitude for what we have received, we haven't fully experienced the healing. It's interesting that you're right, Trina. They're not asking to be healed. They just want compassion. So they ask for this. But the one who returned gets down on his knees. He falls on his face in gratitude. That means that the healing has really happened.
And then presumably that one has really entered into relationship, to pick up one of your common themes, John, and is in relationship and will be stronger potentially for it.
I feel we're a bit like the other nine, though. We are all healed. We just don't realise it. We just don't see it. And maybe that's where our journey is. I don't think it's that the other nine weren't healed. They were in a way, but obviously not completely,
because
they haven't stopped and looked. They haven't seen the presence of God. And I think we're a lot like that. Well, I'm a lot like that. I don't see God all the time, and I'm sure he's there.
It takes some people a long while, and me included, at times, to realise the benefits of healing. In fact, many of us can have some minor ailment, and it's weeks later when somebody asks us about it and it's gone away. We say, oh, yes, I'm only about that 3 weeks ago. Well, actually, you know, I'm now, that was part of the past, and I'm good to go now, I'm fine. But, you know, maybe those nine who didn't come straight back, maybe there's a chance for them later.
One of the things I noticed in the readings is that, and I think in our Christian life as well, as we can easily point the finger at others as being the ones who are in need of healing. So we say, those lepers, they need healing. Or those people who have sinned in this way, they need forgiveness. But John, one of the things I picked up in the material that you prepared is that, in a way, we're all in need of healing, and mental health is something that we all struggle with at times for different situations, like when there's relationship breakdown, when there's grief, when there's death, when there's the loss of any kind. For the healthy person, they will struggle mentally. Like the mental health is something that reveals to us how we really are. But we all struggle at times, maybe. We all need support and healing in this area. Yes?
Look, I think the research shows that over a lifetime, 80% of us will be affected by some form of mental illness, which says that we're thinking about our own parish communities. Basically, everybody, every family will be touched by this in some way at some point, and yet we don't actually talk about it. One of the things I liked about the gospel, and I thought there's a clear link to be made, is that these 10 people have for so long been isolated from their communities. Leprosy, and we can understand that in a way in the time, because it was highly contagious, and this was about preservation of the community taking a stand to quarantine, if you like, certain people. The analogy, I think, without wanting to take it too far, is that many people with mental illness, families, don't actually feel like they can talk about it. I think they do feel isolated. They are, if you like, the lepers of the day, of today, except I don't think there is a rationale behind it. And often perhaps that isolation is a thoughtless one. It's an unintended one, but it's nevertheless real. And I was struck in doing some research for this, by a study out of America, that people and families with mental illness don't get the same level of pastoral care that people with physical illness do. So we're wanting to bring this into the open. And as Jesus, in a way, is bringing these 10 back into the community, I think that's the challenge for us in terms of people with mental illness.
And that's really the contrast between the mental health issue and the gospel today, because the lepers had a very visible illness, and the mental health is often that invisible disability that's holding people back. I was struck today by the fact that Jesus sent the lepers back to the priests to show themselves to the priests. And I was thinking about how the healing is not, what he intended for them was not only the physical healing, but really that restoration to the community by presenting themselves to the priests. It did get me thinking about the one who turned back, because we're told he's a foreigner. Maybe he did not feel the need to present himself to the priests because he was not a Jew. I don't know. But that whole thing of being restored back into the community and how that, you know, affects people or families dealing with mental illness is food for thought.
And the role and faith of faith in all of this, John Kleinsman, you know, the final part of that gospel, stand up and go, your faith has saved you. And I think in the second reading, we hear about, you know, faithfulness as well. If we've died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. And then if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. So we can have our moments where we are like that stranger, right? That that we're not part of the fold, but we've got a constant in our Saviour. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
You've brought us back there, Kate, to a word I think is central, Saviour. The 10, at least some extent, knew their need for salvation, and Christ comes as Saviour. And perhaps the problem that we have today is that we often don't feel as though we're in need of salvation because we're doing okay. We might be doing great, but the person who's doing okay doesn't need salvation. They might need a bit of a hand every now and then, but that's different from salvation. Salvation is what we need when we are desperate, when we call out, when we feel helpless, when we're aware of our vulnerability and weakness. We cry out for salvation. And the psalm that we'll pray this Sunday, the Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Mm-hmm. Immediately calls us to sing to the Lord a new song. He's done wondrous deeds. And that's what we see. We see it in the Old Testament, the healing of the leper Naaman. And of course, Naaman was in an interesting situation because he was doing okay. He was a leader. He was a military leader, and from many accounts, very successful. But he was also a leper, so he had this. I don't know. I imagine him trying to keep this leprosy hidden, because the moment, if that leprosy was known to others, he certainly wouldn't be a military leader. He would be an outcast. So he's got this hidden thing that he's been carrying for certainly a good amount of his adult life. What are the hidden burdens that we are carrying? One of the things I've noticed in people who are struggling with mental health very often is that once they share about it and speak about it honestly, it's like the burden lifts, because they have company. So the very thing that kept them at a distance becomes the thing that actually unites them with others at a deeper level than successful people can ever be united at.
So Naaman was, as I understand it, a commander of the Syrian army. Mm-hmm. So again, like a Samaritan, someone from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't understand until I'd done a bit more looking back into the reading was that he wasn't that keen of going into the Jordan. He thought there would be some rivers in Syria if I could. Yeah.
That's right.
Paraphrasing liberally. So it was at the word of Elisha, the man of God, that he did do that. He came to the Jordan. I don't know. We would hope, wouldn't we, that we would find support for our mental illness and our struggles within our own communities. But we've got examples of people who went beyond their own communities here. Anything in that, Kleinsman, or am I reading too much into it?
I wondered whether we need to turn this around in some ways, or turn the gospel around and And it's quite easy to focus on those with leprosy, and there's that connection between the first and the second reason readings, first reading in the gospel. But I was intrigued in the first instance by the language that is used in the gospel. I don't know what the New Zealand readings are. I generally follow the United States conference readings, and they're the ones I had in front of me. And the word that they use there for their plea to Jesus is "have pity on us." But I went and compared it with a whole lot of other translations, and most of the other translations use the word mercy, and we've already used that word today. One of them uses the word compassion. And I don't think that people with mental illness want our pity. People generally don't want our pity today. So the emphasis, I think, I would put it back on us as a community. We are, in a sense, the body of Christ. We are Jesus' representatives on earth. And so the question, one of the questions this raises for me is how ready are we to show mercy and compassion? Or the challenge is maybe by hearing the cry of those who are saying, have mercy on us, have compassion on us, that they are in fact saying to us, we are not as merciful or compassionate as we need to be. Mm-hmm. So maybe these people who are outside of the community in some ways are the ones who are talking to us. So it's putting the emphasis on the us as the community of Christ, rather than on those with leprosy.
And I wonder if sometimes we as a community, our role is to actually help a person with mental illness to be able to speak out and say, have mercy on me, you know, I need help. Maybe that's the first support we need to give them sometimes, just to give them that little courage.
Now, this is a tricky one, and I speak as somebody who has a close relative who, you know, does suffer, and just to know what to do. It's being there sometimes for the really small conversations, the texts and the things, rather than, you know, saying, right, tell me everything, I want to know and I'll try and fix it for you. Yeah, and keeping that door open. But by the same token, I was thinking earlier when we were speaking that, you know, when somebody dies or somebody's very ill, you know, we might well take a meal round or something, but we tend not to do that with mental illness. So it's I think, incumbent on me to be thinking of the ways that I can support people that are okay for them, because they're already carrying a big burden.
I was also thinking in similar terms, but in terms of gratitude, because this gospel, we often, you know, focus on the one who was grateful. And I think it's not easy for people with mental health issues to be spontaneously grateful. But it's also not helpful when someone says to them, just be grateful for what you've got, or you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, how to, because gratitude can be spontaneous and can also be a discipline. How can we help people in that place to be grateful without without telling them off, or you know what I mean? Just, yeah, in an inviting way rather than in a forceful way, I suppose.
And I think, you know, this close family member, you know, during one of the early parts of the pandemic was living back at home. And I think my joy of life was actually totally, you know, not what they wanted to hear at all. You know, me being grateful for, you know, living in a nice place and being able to go down to the beach and being able to do X, Y, and they were suffering. And it was like, you know, we're on different planets. Mm. So, yeah, I'm with you, Lucy, and how do we cross that bridge? And I've only found it's the really small things.
Yeah. I like that thought, Kate, that it often is in the small things. And one of the things we've tried to do with this campaign for Support Life, we have a series of social media tiles. One of the things we want to do is amplify the voices of those with mental illness. So the campaign features a number of quotes from people, and a couple of them stick in my mind. One is from a person who said that those who were closest to her during her struggles were the ones who, in a sense, couldn't talk to her about it, and that actually made things worse. And there was also another quote which really made me think, and that is how we can, in fact, use the one thing that is that we should be able to bring to the situation, which is our prayerfulness and our faith, but how often our responses using religious language can, in fact, just serve to keep people at arm's length, and they can be a way of almost dismissing the person. There's a fine line in there, and but it's made me think, and I think we all need to think about that, how I will pray for you, even if it's heartfelt, can in fact, perhaps for the person who just needs an ear, who just needs you to sit down with them and tell your story, might in fact seem like you're just pushing them away.
I think it's important when with people with who are struggling in any way to set aside our normal expectation of reciprocal behavior. So we simply need to come and give and be open to giving without receiving. That's one of the beautiful things, because so often in our encounters we sort of expect to receive. If I invite them for dinner, well, they'll invite me for dinner, and if I do this, they'll do that, and without thinking we do this. But the beauty of what Jesus teaches us, giving receiving, in another passage, is there is a beauty in simply giving and not making any judgment about how effective our giving has been based on how the other responds, but rather return to prayer ourselves. Lord, what should I do? And then to gently, one small step, to do that. Well, let's take the opportunity to share. If you were preaching this weekend to a congregation that you know, what's one point that you would like them to go home with on the Support Life Sunday?
Well, I guess I was starting out thinking of this in completely the flipped way to what I've now come to be thinking about it. So I was thinking about the role of the Saviour, the healer, and having to be that part of that is our mission on earth. But I think the giving, the walking alongside people to support life, I would like to see our homilists step into the gift that is this particular Sunday to actually use some of the resources that have come through from the Nathaniel Centre for Bioethics. Because they're rather beautiful, because they do really ground us in the realities of life. And I liked your comment, John, about when we're doing that giving, that walking alongside someone with mental illness, we need to set aside our normal expectations of reciprocal behaviour. It's actually not so much about us. Mm. We get, it's what they need.
I think the word that stuck with me today is that translation that says, have compassion on us. It's the compassion, you know, who are we being asked to show compassion to? Because I think compassion means to suffer with. And maybe just an invitation to open our eyes and our hearts to be more compassionate to those around us with mental illness especially.
It so happens that Aotearoa Mental Health Awareness Week runs through for the week up to the 2nd of October. And we're suggesting to parishes that, in fact, they start the social media campaign on the 3rd of October. The theme for Mental Health Awareness Week is the importance of people reconnecting with people and places that lift them up. And I'm thinking, gee, that's what our parishes should be. That's what our community should be. Some of the resources we've prepared include an examination of conscience for individuals and for parishes and for schools, so as well as for parish leadership teams, actually. So the one takeaway for me would be, have a look at these examinations of conscience. Let's critique ourselves in terms of how well we are doing and how well we can, you know, to what extent is our parish really a place of welcoming where people can, in fact, reconnect and be welcomed and held up at a time in their life when they most need it.
I love these stories with Jesus when he heals people and he always says, go. He always sends them out. It's never to follow. And I know I had a discussion here with someone who says, no, they always follow because that's what you're supposed to do. But I think in this, like Grace says, stand up and go, your faith has healed you. It's like, just go out there and do it. Don't just offer prayers. Like be the action of the church, be the active person who's out there just listening and helping and doing what they need rather than what we think they need.
Thank you all. I found this conversation hugely helpful. John, where can we get the resources? Anyone who's listening, where can they find the resources?
So the resources will be sent to every parish in New Zealand and to all of the schools and colleges. So they, if you're a parish or a school, you should be getting it. But it will also be posted up on the New Zealand Catholic Bishops website. So you'll be able to find the links and all of the materials on that website as well.
Well, let's draw our reflections to prayer, keeping in mind especially those who might be listening to this, who are struggling themselves with mental health issues. Perhaps those who are carrying what they feel is often a burden of the mental health of someone they love, someone they live with, someone who they worry about. I'm encouraged by Pope Francis sharing a few years ago that that at times he's had a few struggles too, and he did say that he went to see a psychotherapist a few years ago when he was facing some pretty big stuff, and I found that a great encouragement, a Pope admitting that we all, if we are healthy, need support in this way at times. But one of the prayers that you've put out in the resources, John, the Nathaniel Centre has put out, is based on a prayer of Pope Francis, and let's draw together our thoughts today in praying that prayer. Lord Jesus, you are our healer, and each one of us is in need of healing. Heal us from being caught up in ourselves. Free us from the fear that keeps us from reaching out to others who may need our gestures of friendship. Give us the courage and generosity to be gentle with our own struggles with mental health, and to then be gentle and generous with the struggles of others. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.